Today's daf is Samach Dalev. We're going to start at Samach Gimel in the middle, even a bit toward the top, Samach Gimel Amabet, where it says Amarav. We'll go back to the very last thing we did yesterday about Einai Shasa Shaliach Lekabel Gita Miyad Shaliach Baala. We'll go over that in a minute. Unfortunately, Motvor Badino is Avram Shimon Ben Chanak, Rami Ben Im, Orli Pnei Bar Rechel, Frida Chaim, Malk, Esther Bat Zipora, Dania Ben Mirim Chayarut, Yosef Ben Rechel, Leah Bat Rivka, Rafal Yosha, Falik Ben Brecha Bati, Yanti Mirim Bat Chana Rechel, Yel Mirim Bat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshana, Leazar Chaim Ben Drezi, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Yelon Ishmael Chana Bat Atara, and Reza Bat Sarah. Okay, we ended yesterday with a machloket Rav and Rabbi Chanina about whether a woman can create a shaliach to get the get from her husband. And until now we've been discussing, she makes a shaliach kabbalah to accept the get from the husband on her behalf. That's okay. But now there's a machloket about whether she can make a shaliach to accept the get from the husband's shaliach. So there were two concerns. So there were two, we'll see in a minute, there's two opinions. One, Rav says she cannot do this. And Rabbi Chanina says she's allowed to do this, no problem. His shaliach can meet her shaliach, and they can exchange the gitin, and the get can be a good get, right? Even if she never actually receives the get in hand, because the shaliach can accept it on her behalf.
It's not a question of whether she can make a shaliach lekabbalah, it's whether she
no,
can make a shaliach lekabbalah.
No, she can obviously make a shaliach lekabbalah.
Exactly.
Okay. She can definitely make a shaliach lekabbalah. Nobody disagrees with that. The only question is, can she have a shaliach kabbalah that accepts it from the husband's shaliach? And here we're going to see the two issues. My time of Derev, we did this yesterday. Ibait Ema Mishum Bizayon Debal. It could be embarrassment for the husband, that the husband doesn't want, we saw this before, by the way, that the husband wouldn't want the wife, he would want her to get it in hand. It's an embarrassment for him that she won't even go pick up the get herself. Now, again, how could she ever make a shaliach lekabbalah then, according to this? Because if he's willing, the whole issue is you need the willingness of the husband to give the get. So if he's willing to give the get to the shaliach kabbalah, then we have no problem. If he hands it directly, that's fine. But if he appoints a shaliach to deliver the get to the wife, and then the wife doesn't show up herself to get the get, maybe he wouldn't have wanted to give the get in that way. Maybe he thinks that's offensive and would never have given her the get if that were the case. It could be that this particular guy doesn't want her to accept it by a shaliach, he wants her to accept it herself. So again, if he's the one giving the get, well, then he can decide on the spot and say, oh, she didn't show up, I'm not giving her the get. But if he doesn't show up, he's not there, his shaliach is there, and he has no way of knowing, then the shaliach is now acting as a messenger and doesn't know what the husband actually would want to do in that case. And it's very likely the husband doesn't care, but since we don't know, okay, now according to Rav, and we said this yesterday, according to this explanation of Rav, there's actually a problem with the actual giving of the get according to this. There's a potential problem. The next option is going to be just that it's a gzeirah, meaning there's nothing actually wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with doing this. The only problem is if we allow this, then people might come to conclude that something else is okay. And what's that case? It's not exactly a total comparison. But because of mishum, ibayit ema, mishum chatzera habala charmikin. That's if he throws a get into someone's property. If he threw it into the woman's property, the get would be a good get, because she doesn't have to accept it by hand as long as her chatzer accepts it, okay? We say her chatzer is like her yad, it's like her hand, it's in her property, that's enough. So if, again, this all doesn't apply nowadays when the woman, one second that Rabbeinu Gershom came in and she can't do it against her, he can't divorce her against her will, then that's irrelevant. But in those days, where he could divorce her against her will, as long as it got into her property, that was enough. So if he throws it into her chatzer, into a random chatzer, she ends up purchasing that chatzer and all of a sudden, oh, voila, it's in her property. So you might think that's okay, but it's not. And because that's not okay, we're worried that maybe the same thing, you would say he gave it to a shaliach to hand to the woman, and then in the interim, she appointed a shaliach, and then it becomes hers. And it's not exactly comparable, but in a similar way to chatzera habala charmikin. So now they want to know what's the difference whether you say mishum bizayon or mishum chatzera habala charmikin. My binayu, ika binayu dekadma ihi b'shavya shaliach meikara. If she had made a shaliach from the beginning, then, now, this actually could go both ways. Okay, there's a bit of a disagreement about this. So, according to Rashi, we'll go with Rashi, if she makes him a shaliach from the beginning, then it's not like chatzer habala charmikin, because the chatzer was hers at the beginning. She already appointed the shaliach before the husband appointed his shaliach. Then it would be okay, because you wouldn't have a gzeirah, you wouldn't have a similarity to chatzera lebala charmikin, but it would still be an issue that maybe there would be this issue of bizayon habal. You can actually argue this the flip way, but we're going to leave it at that. Now we're going to have a case. Sahu gavra deshadala gita ledibitu. He sends a get to his wife. Azal shlicha, the shaliach goes, eshkecha ki yad va v'kalisha. He finds her and she's kneading. This sounds like the other case where the woman was embroidering, right? And then she sends the shaliach back home. So here, amrla heilach gitech. So he says to her, here's your get. Amrle lehavi biyadcha. She says, can you accept it for me? Because my hands are dirty, right? You all know what it's like when you're in the middle of kneading dough. You know, your hands are all sticky. So she says, just you accept it for me. So now, what's the case? Is this just this? Okay, first we're going to see that they think this is just like the machloket Rav Chanina and Rav. Because what's the issue? She's making a shaliach kabbalah. She's making this shaliach, a shaliach kabbalah, to accept the get from himself, but really from the shaliach laholacha. So Amar Rav Nachman, the case came before Rav Nachman. What's the situation here? What does he say? Im ita le Rabbi Chanina, if we held like Rabbi Chanina, then avde be uvda, then I would say this was okay. Because Rabbi Chanina says that he can actually, right, that she can send the shaliach kabbalah to accept it from the shaliach laholacha. So he says, right, it sounds like we don't necessarily paskin like him, right, but if we were to paskin like him, then it would be okay. Amar le Rava, Rabbi says, wait a minute, im ita le Rabbi Chanina, avde be uvda? Wait a minute, this isn't a comparable case. This has a separate problem. Even if you hold like Rabbi Chanina, that his shaliach can deliver to her shaliach, this is a different case because it's the same person. So, ha lo chazra shlichut etzel haba'al. This is not a good shlichut. Why? Because, now this is, okay, what happens here? You, in order to have a good shlichut, you have to have the shaliach be able to go back to the husband and say, I finished my shlichut. Okay, which he can't do before he's already in a new role, right? In other words, he can't say, I finished my shlichut until he's actually no longer the shliach of the husband, but the shliach of the wife. Because there's no moment at which, it's almost like, right, when yantif goes into yantif, right? There's no moment where you can say, oh, I could do malacha in between, right? There's a crossover here. So before he finishes his first shlichut, he already became a different shliach. So he can't go to the husband and say, I finished my shlichut before he moves on to his new job. So now...
But there's no requirement. The whole point of halacha is he doesn't have to come back again.
No, but it means, can he say, I finished my goal? He didn't finish it until he turned into something else. Now, there's a whole discussion about this concept. Is this a concept that applies to all shlichuyot? Or some of the mafreshim say it's actually a unique... In other, some people say this has to be by all shlichuyot. You have to say, I finished my shlichut. There has to be closure. In this case, there's really no closure because he's turned into someone else who's part of the whole activity. So some people say this is an issue for shlichuyot in general. Other people say, no, it's a unique halacha by get. Why? Because get has this issue of v'natan la. There has to be this giving to her. And if he functions right, he can't... There's no actual giving here. It's a unique halacha as opposed to a regular shlichut, which doesn't have that whole requirement of giving over the shtar. So some people say it's a unique halacha just by get. Okay. So now, he says, so even if you hold like Rabbi Chanina, it wouldn't work if the same shaliach functions both as shlich halacha and as shlich kabbalah. So now we're going to have a whole back and forth. Nobody really knows what to do with this case or with cases like this. Shachua kamei to Rabbi Ami. So they sent to Rabbi Ami in Eretz Israel. Okay, these were, right, Rav Nachman and Rava were arguing about this, right? Rav Nachman said, if we held like Rabbi Chanina, it would be okay. And Rava says, no. And so they send it to Rabbi Ami in Eretz Israel. Shalach lehu, he sends back to them, lo chazra shlichut etzel habaal. Okay, basically, I agree with Rava. But Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar, nityashev badavar. We need to sit on this and think about it. Okay, it's not so simple. Hadr shachua kamei to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. They were a little impatient, so they sent back to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. New, did you think about it? Did you come up with an answer? Here's a very good answer. He responds to them, or maybe not a very good answer. Amar kol hane shachula va'azle ki hecha demesapkalu. Sorry, kol hane shachule va'azle. You keep sending it to me ki hecha demesapkalu lididu hachanami mesapkalan lididan. Just like you don't know the answer, I also don't know the answer. Okay, it's like, what are you bothering me about? I don't know what to tell you. Right, sometimes. It's okay to say.
I don't know the answer.
Right. So now the Gemara concludes, though. Havi davar shebe'erva, v'davar shebe'erva choletzet. This is a davar shebe'erva, and when we have an issue with a davar shebe'erva, what do we say? You have to judge it as she's suffek married, suffek divorced, and therefore she can't do, right, in the event that the husband were to die, and she never, right, we don't know, did she ever receive the get or not, and he dies without children, then what would she do? She'd be considered safek megureshet. We would treat her both. She'd have to do chalitza, but she can't do yibum, because again, yibum would not be allowed if she had a divorce from the guy, because she can't marry the guy's brother. And chalitza would be necessary in the case that she was still married to him. Okay. Hava uvda. There was a case. Ve'etrecha Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta get ve'chalitza. There was a case that came before Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta, and he made them both give a get. Okay, the guy had to give her another get, meaning they didn't think this get was good, and he did chalitza, the brother, once the guy died. So the Gemara says, Tarte? What do you mean? If he gave her a new get, then obviously she wouldn't need chalitza. That doesn't make any sense. So now they say, no. Get mechayim v'chalitza l'achar mitah. Now, if the guy was still alive, then he made her give her a new get. If the guy had died and didn't have kids, then he said, you have to do chalitza because you're safek megureshet. In other words, he treated it as a safek, in which case, what's the solution? He just has to give her a new get. Okay? But if he didn't do that, and he died before he gave her a new get, then they would have to do chalitza l'achar mitah. Okay, now we're going to have a few other cases of shlichut. Okay, let's get into interesting questions about when you send a shaliach to do something and he does it, but in the end the job doesn't get done. Okay, so now, does the shaliach have the right to do the act again? Or did you appoint him and he did his shlichut, and once his shlichut is done, whether or not the totsa'ot that you wanted happened, okay, it could be that he did what he was supposed to do, and therefore he has no right anymore. Not only does he have to, but maybe he's not allowed to. Because if you send him to do something, he does it. Now, even if the end result doesn't happen, you'll see the case soon, but maybe he's not allowed to because he's no longer functioning as your shaliach. If he finishes the service, then he finished it. Or do you say, until the job is done, right? He still is a shaliach. So there's going to be some discussion about this. So there was a guy to have a karela, I guess her. They called her Nafata. Sorry, you can imagine why I wasn't sure what this name, whether it was male or female. They called her Nafata. Azo sade kachuv tifata. They made a mistake, okay? I guess they weren't so familiar with the name either. And instead of calling her Nafata, they called her Tifata. Right? So what happened? The guy said, go write a get, right? This is very common. The guy would say, kitvu v'tnu, right? Write a get for my wife. And writing a get often means write it and deliver and give it. So he says, write the get. They wrote the get, but they wrote it wrong. Am Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta. Now you see why this is here, because it's the same guy we just saw a minute ago. Mishmei de Rav. He says in the name of Rav, Asu edin shlichutan. They did their shlichut. He said, write a get. They wrote a get. So they made a mistake, but they wrote the get. So meaning, again, they're not allowed now to write a new get because he didn't ask them to write a new get, right? Unless he says to him, rewrite the get, they have no right to rewrite the get.
You mean somebody made a mistake and yeah. the husband has to say, oh, by the way, I noticed that you made the mistake.
Yeah, and the husband has to re-invite them to be shlichim. Again, we're going to reject this right now because it doesn't make so much sense. So now, Amar of Yitzchak bar Shmuel, Matkifla Rabba. Rabba questions him and says, "Mifam Ralehu Ktovu Chaspa V'Havula." Did he say write a piece of junk and send it to her? No, he obviously wanted them to write something that was valid. He didn't say write an invalid document. So Ella Amar Rabba. Rabba says no. Vaday Ikatuv Sade Gita Ma'alya V'Avad. But in the case, what case could I agree with you? If he said, write a get, and they wrote a good get, and then the get disappeared, okay, they lost the get, then you could say, asu edin shluchutan. Because in that case, they wrote the get. They wrote a perfect get. They wrote her name as Tifata, let's say. Okay, they wrote a good get, had her name in it. Everything was good. But then he wrote write it, right? So they wrote it. And then the get gets lost. So they did their job. Right? They wrote the get. Still not so great, because what do you mean they did their job? They wrote it, but it didn't go anywhere. It's gone now. So Matkifla Rav Nachman, Mikamar Lehu, Kitvu Vanchua Bikisayu. What did he say? Go write it and stick it in your pocket? In other words, that it's not meant to be used? No. This wasn't just to write the document, it was to write a usable document that we can actually deliver. Elam Rav Nachman, Kodvim Vinotnin Afilu Mea Pamim. Okay, until she actually gets the get, you can keep rewriting it. This same shlichim can keep writing it even 100 times, right? That's always the exaggerated number they're using to say, as many times as it takes until she actually gets the get. Ba'amine Rava me Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman a question. Kidvu utnu l'shaliach, mahu? If he says, write and give the get to a shaliach. Okay, this is an interesting case. He says, I want you to write the get and I want you to give it, not to the woman, right? Usually a kidvu utnu is give it to the woman. Here, I want you to write and give it to the shaliach. So let's say they write the get and they give it to the shaliach, and then what happens? So they've done their job fully, 100%. They give it to the shaliach, and the shaliach loses it. So now what? Are they allowed to write a new get? Or do you say, right? So ma'u, siluke salik lehu, in other words, they finished their job, they're done. Odilma letir chadid hu chayish. Or is it just that he doesn't want to bother these messengers too much? So we asked them to do part of the job, but obviously he intended for them to do the full job, just it was too much to ask of one person. So he says, look, let's do like a baton. You pass the baton to that guy, you do part, he'll do part, and that way it'll get done. But in which case, they obviously can rewrite it, if that's the case, because their job wasn't really finished. Amale Ravina le Rav Ashi, what if, I'm going to ask the question even further, what if he says, kidvu tnu viyo lishaliach? Okay, go give it to a shaliach, v'yolichla, and he will give it to her. Okay, in which case they're also much more removed from it. Mahu, what would be the case? And the Gemara answers, teku, we don't know. Okay, we don't know the answer. Okay, now we're going back to the last line of the Mishnah, where Rashbag omer, okay, there were different lishonot of what they could say. So, af ha'omer toligiti, im ratza lachzor lo yachzor. That's what Rashbag says. Even if she says, toli, take for me my get, then the husband can't change his mind because what are we saying? Toli is a lashon of Kabbalah, right? It's all a matter of did she make him a shaliach l'halacha to then hope that the husband will appoint him a shaliach l'halacha, or did she make him a shaliach to accept the get? And here the assumption is if she says toli, then it's making him a shaliach l'kabbalah. So the Gemara says, brings another brayta that expands more on this. Tana Rabbanan, it gives you all different lashonot that are all Kabbalah. Toli, visali, okay, carry for me. V'yehele b'yadcha, it should be for me in your hands. Kulam l'shon kabbalah. Okay, any of those l'shonot means he's a shaliach l'kabbalah. Okay, new Mishnah. Ha'isha shamra hitkabel ligiti. If she appoints a shaliach kabbalah, tzricha shtei shkitei edim. She's going to now need two different groups of witnesses. Shnaim shomrim b'faneinu amra. Two are going to say, we heard her say and appoint this shaliach to be a shaliach l'kabbalah. Ushnayim shomrim b'faneinu kibel v'kara, and then two witnesses who see the shaliach l'kabbalah accept the get, and then subsequently rip it. We're going to get to the ripping, why he rips it. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so basically, she appoints the shaliach l'kabbalah. Remember, the get is a good get as soon as the shaliach l'kabbalah gets it. But now we're going to see that you need witnesses, right? What do you need witnesses for? Two sets. You need witnesses to see that she appointed the Shaliach Kabbalah. Otherwise, we don't know if he's Shaliach Kabbalah or Shaliach Holacha. And the second is that he actually accepts the get. So, now they're going to tell us, it doesn't really matter the makeup of these Shnei Kitei Edim. Afilu Heina Rishonim V'Heina Achronim. It could be the same two people who see both. O Echaben Rishonim V'Echaben Achronim V'Echaben Tzerekim Ahem. It could be this one guy, right, like A plus B, see the first act, and then A plus C, see the second one. In other words, one overlaps and one is different. Okay, that's all fine. Okay, Gemara, Itmar. Baal omer lepikadon, uvishalish omer legevushin, mi ne'eman. Now we're going to have a whole question of ne'emanut. If we find the get in the hands of a third party, okay, that's the shalish. Some people say shalish comes from a third. Okay, a third party. What he is the middleman. Okay, some people say it comes from like a shalishim, or the shalitim, the rulers, and it's like a respectable position. Okay, either which way, however you see it, he's a middleman. So this middleman has the get in his hand. Okay, so now the husband says, yes, I gave you. So what's the question? Is he the shaliach l'kabbalah, and is this a good get? Because the assumption is that he received the get on behalf of the wife and now she's divorced. Or do we say that the husband gave it to him, okay, the husband's going to claim, I gave it to you only as a pikadon, to watch over it for me. In other words, maybe I'm not ready to give the get yet, okay? I gave it to you to watch over for me. I didn't give it to you to give to my wife. So what if the husband says, Balomir le pikadon, I gave this to you as a pikadon. It wasn't meant to be a get to give to my wife. And you have to question a little bit why exactly he gave it as a pikadon, right? And as what are you doing? You already wrote the get, right? But maybe he hasn't decided yet if he wants to divorce her. Vishalish omer legerushin. And the shalish says, he gave it to me to divorce the woman, and the woman's divorced. So mi ne'eman. Machloket. Rav Huna, by the way, itmar is always, often, an introduction to a machloket emoraim. Okay, an argument by the emoraim. Here we're going to have it.
Does the Baal know that he's a shaliach kabbalah? Is it hidden that he's a shaliach kabbalah?
No, it's not usually hidden. It's usually no. So it's usually no.
Shaliach kabbalah, and still he claims he gave it to him.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
That's his claim.
Right, that's his claim. His claim is that I just gave it to him to watch
even
over.
Even though I know he's the kabbalah guy.
Well, maybe right, or maybe he didn't know. It's, he's claiming I didn't know it was a shaliach kabbalah. He could be claiming that.
So
we don't know what the truth
that's
is.
That's the contention that he didn't know he was.
Well,
a
not only that, but he said I gave it to you. Right, that wasn't my intention when I gave it to you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So now, who's believed? Rav Huna Amar Baal Ne'eman. Rav Chista Amar Shalish Ne'eman. Okay, one says the Baal, one says the Shalish. Now, often in an Itmar, it sets up, it gives you the title, which is Baal Omer L'Pikado, Shalish Omer L'Girushin, that's the case, Mi Ne'eman. Then you have who says what, and then you often have the third level, which is why does each one say what they say? So, in this case, we get that. Rav Huna Amar Baal Ne'eman, Dim Ita L'Girushin Yahavei Ni'alei, L'Dida Havayayiv Le Ni'alei, Ni'ala. If he really was planning to divorce her, he would have just given it to the wife himself. The fact that he gave it to a third party indicates that, right, this is obviously, what are you talking about? Okay, we'll get to this in a minute. But let's just understand it first and then we'll understand it better. The fact that he gave it to a shalish already means maybe he really was doing it lepikadon. Now, Rashi says you have to assume that they were living in the same city and that it was just as easy for him to give it to his wife as it was for him to give to the shaliach. You would have to say that that's the case. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. Because, right, we have tons of cases where people send a shaliach because it's not close. Okay, so that's what we would have to say. Rav Chista Amar, okay, the other reason that people add to this is that it could be that even if you say it's in a different city, the fact that it's still in the hands of the shalish proves that it was l'pikadon. And then they say, what do you mean? Doesn't, if he's a shaliach l'kabbalah, then he can accept it on behalf of the wife and doesn't need to give it to her. But they say, no, the assumption is even though he doesn't have to give it to her, and that was part of what we learned yesterday about it's always easier to be a shaliach l'kabbalah because you don't actually have to get it to the wife. On the other hand, eventually you get it to the wife because in the end she uses her get to prove that she gets her ketubah money and all sorts of things. She's going to need the get. So, which also a little bit doesn't so work so well with the fact that he rips it. So we're going to talk about that soon. But in a regular case where he doesn't rip it, right, she would usually use the get to prove that she's divorced. So the fact that it's still in his hands serves as somewhat of a proof for the husband, okay? It makes the husband's case stronger. It's not a full proof, but it does make his case a little stronger. Rav Chista Amar Shalish Ne'eman, here's a good psychological insight. Deha hemne. The husband obviously trusted the shaliach, the shalish. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have given it to him. Why? If the husband gives the shalish a get, and he says, watch over this for me. Now, if he doesn't trust the guy, what can the guy do? The guy could deliver it to the wife, say, here's your get, I got it from your husband, here's your get, right? And the wife could think that she's divorced, and she's really not, right? In other words, so obviously, he trusted the shalish if he's giving him a get. Right? It's like it's anyone who you give something to watch, you obviously have trust in them. So if the husband trusts the shalish, then obviously we should believe the shalish. Okay, you follow? That's the logic. The husband trusted him, then if they're having an argument, well then we're going to side with the shalish. Okay? And the other reason given is also there's amigo here. What's amigo, right? That if he could have done something else and he didn't. If the shalish really wanted to lie and say the wife was divorced, then he could have just as easily, again, assuming they're in the same city, delivered it to the wife, if that's what he really wants to do. So the fact that he can any moment also take this get and deliver it to the wife and say, here's your get, and he didn't do that, right? And he's claiming a less strong claim, which is, well, it's in my hands, but it belongs to the wife, so any less strong claim we're going to believe, because otherwise, if he really wanted to lie, he would have done something even, right, more obvious and more convincing. So that's another reason they believe him. Mativ Rav Abba. Rav Abba comes now and asks a question on Rav Huna's opinion that the Baal is Ne'eman. Here's a Braita. It's actually a Tosefta in Bava Metzia. It says, Hoda'at Baal Din Kemeh Edim Dame. Okay, this isn't relevant for our case, but the first line of this Tosefta is, if somebody admits having done something, right, like I admit I owe you money, then I'm just as good as 100 Edim, which is really no different than saying I'm just as good as 2 Edim, but just like we saw a few minutes ago, 100 is this, right, exaggerated number. I'm just as good as any amount of Edim. Vishalish ne'eman mishnehem. Okay, and a shalish is more ne'eman than either two sides. This is the important part for our cases. If there's a disagreement between two people and the money's in the hands of the shalish, right? Someone says, I gave you money, you know, I gave you money to watch, and the other guy says, what do you mean? You gave him the money to return to me, and there's an argument about it. So the shalish is always ne'eman, okay, the middleman. So if that's the case, right here, they're going to say, Ketzav, what's the case? Zeh omer kach, vezeh omer kach, shalish ne'eman. Okay, he says one thing, the other guy says the other thing, the shalish is believed. So, if that's the case in the Tosefta, what do you see here? The shalish is always believed. So how can we believe the husband in this case, right? How can Rav Huna say the Baal is ne'eman? So the answer given here is, you're comparing apples and oranges, which we've seen a bunch of times already. Shani mamon de'ityahiv lemechila. In a mamon case, when somebody gives their money to a shalish, they're already giving up some of the rights to that money because they're giving it to someone else to watch anything. They know that there's something, right, that might happen. So in the end, money, you can always say, okay, fine. In other words, you're putting your trust in the shalish. You know something might happen. So you're already somewhat mochel that money. You know that you might not ever get that money back because always hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, right? The burden of proof is always going to be on you now once you've given that money over. So therefore, we can assume that in a case where there's some disagreement, you'll be mochel the mamon, okay? We can assume you're mochel the mamon even if the shalish is wrong. At least we could say, okay, maybe we'll, you know, switch the hands of the money in the wrong way, but at least we can assume you were mochel on the money. But in a case of isurim, right, gitin, you can't be mochel, oh, you're not an eshadish, right? I'll decide, right? I'll be mochel. Okay, fine. She really should be married to me, but you say she's not. Fine, she's not. There's no such thing. You can't play games like that. So therefore, in a case of gitin, we're not going to say the shalish is ne'eman necessarily, unless, right, in other words, Rav Huna doesn't think we should believe the shalish, whereas in the case of the money, we would. So now they say, wait a minute. The Tosefta there, there's a bright on that Tosefta that says, Vaha tanya v'chein l'gitin. The case is the same for gitin. The shalish is ne'eman. So how could you say it's not true for gitin? So they say, oh no, gitin doesn't mean gitin. We've seen this before. It means gitay mamon. A get is just a shtar. It's another word for a shtar. The classic case of get is a shtar divorce. But sometimes it means gitay mamon, and that's what it means. So they say, no, that doesn't make any sense to say that when it says v'chein l'gitin is gitay mamon, because there's another bright of a hatanya, v'chein l'shtarot, where it uses the terminology shtarot when it means shtarot, and not gitin. So when it says v'chein l'shtarot, it obviously means shtarot. But the bright of it says v'chein l'gitin must mean the get of a divorce. So they said, what are you talking about? One brayta doesn't prove the other brayta wrong. Mi digabe hadade tanya, where they said right next to each other. In other words, these two brayta were said by different people in different places, and one used the terminology shtarot, and one used the terminology gitin, but they both meant the same thing. In other words, just because one used different terminology doesn't mean that they mean different things. If the same person had said b'chein l'shtarot and said b'chein l'gitin, then you can infer he meant b'chein l'gitin and b'chein l'shtarot, and gitin is a get. But if two different people said, two different places, you know, they have nothing to do with each other, so it's very likely that the guy who said gitin really meant shtarot. He used the terminology gitin to mean a regular shtar. It doesn't prove anything. Okay, so in the end, we don't have any difficulty with this perush, and we seem to say that that's the case. The Tosefta is talking about mamonot, our case is gitin, and you can't ask a question, therefore, on Rav Huna. Tanan. Now we're going to bring a problem from our Mishnah, on Rav Chista, who says the shalish is ne'eman. If the shalish is ne'eman, where are we going to go with this? What did it say in our Mishnah? If a woman sends it within the hands of a shaliach, right? A shaliach l'kabbalah, what do you need? You need two edim that saw her appoint him to be a shaliach l'kabbalah, and two edim that saw him accept it. Okay? Now why do you need edim if the shalish is ne'eman? Right? We just said the shalish is ne'eman without edim. So that's what we're going to see now. Tanan, Hayisha Shemra et Kabel Gitit, Tzricha Shtei Kitei Edim, Shnayim Shemru Bepanenu Amra, Veshnayim Shemru Bepanenu Kibel Vakara. V'amai, Lehem Nesh L'Shalish. Okay? So now the answer, there's the case where we said we believe the shalish is a case of where the money's in the hands of the shalish. In this case, what's the problem? Mi kanapikita mitote yade de lahemne? Does the shalish have a get in his hand that we can believe him by? You know what happened? He got the get and he ripped it, remember? Okay? So now he rips the get. He just has a ripped piece of paper. Okay? That's not good enough. Okay? Now, what's the assumption? How else could he have a ripped get? It could be the husband ripped it in the shuk, threw it in the garbage, he found it, he took it for whatever reason. Maybe it was a good piece of parchment, thought maybe I'd use it for something. Okay? And even though it's ripped, I don't know. But, you know, it could be he just found that piece of garbage and, you know, said this is a good get. So therefore, he doesn't have any proof to show for it. Now you see that in order to believe the shalish without witnesses, you need proof, right? You need something in hand. Okay? So now, Tinach. So now we're going to ask a question on this, though. I understand Amra. I understand why you need two witnesses to say that the woman appointed him a shaliach l'kabbalah. Aval kibel lamali. Why do you need witnesses to say kibel? Because really, okay, now this is going to a little bit contradict what we just said a minute ago, but we're going to say that really the fact that he has this rip get in hand really does show something, right? In other words, okay, there's two options. Either we say that if you, as long as we know he has the rip get in hand, that's okay. But Tosfot disagrees with that. Tosfot says, if you look at the very end of Tosfot, Dibor Matchil Tinach Befanenu Amra, the very last line, it says, Lama li befanenu kibel? Why do you need witnesses befanenu kibel? Lo hayat tzarich ela le'edim shera'uhu biyado shalem. You don't necessarily have to have witnesses that were there at the moment he received the get. But what do you? But if you have witnesses that said he received a full, right? In other words, they saw the get in his hands before he ripped it. And the whole question is at what point, right? You know, maybe it's just enough to have witnesses that he had the get in his hand. And that would prove it, okay? Rashi thinks it's enough even further down the road after he rips it up, even for the long term, the fact that he has this rip get in his hands is already enough of a proof, okay? And you shouldn't need more than that. So there's a machloket about how much you need. But anyway, why wouldn't that be enough? So why do you still need aiding? Because that should be sufficient. Amara, who is this? Rava or Rabba? I don't know. What does it say? What? With a hey?
Yeah.
Amara Rabba. Hamane Rabbi Elazar hi damar edim misira karte. Why do you need witnesses that actually see the misira and not the fact that he's got to get in his hands? Because what do we hold? This source goes like Rabbi Elazar, this Mishnah. What's Rabbi Elazar? Remember, okay, we haven't talked about him in a while. That what's the key part of the giving of the get? It's the giving of it and the witnesses who saw the actual giving of the get. And that's why we need to have Adi Masira here. We need to have Adim that saw the Shalich LaKabbalah accept the get, because that's what affects the get, the Masira. And they're the Adim that are the most important. Okay, there's a discussion about if the Shtar actually had signatures on it, maybe even Rabbi Elazar agrees that the signatures were enough, and maybe then you wouldn't need it. There's a bit of a discussion here. But anyway, that's the basic. That this Mishnah must hold the Adi Masira Karte, and therefore those are the witnesses you need.
And nobody needs to say
so that's a separate thing. That's if you're going for Chutz La'aretz, right? Here we're just talking about a regular get. We're already done with the Bifanai Nechtav, Bifanai Nechtam. Although maybe we're going back to it at some point. I don't remember. Okay. Kara lamali. So now why? What's this ripping of the get? Why does he do that? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Bishat HaGzera Shanu. It was Bishat HaGzera when you weren't allowed to have any Jewish documentation around. So therefore, he would rip the get so that no one would get right hold of it and get upset at us that we, you know, that if you weren't allowed to do mitzvah, you weren't allowed to do gitin and kiddushin and all that. So if you had a shtar to show for it, you'd be in trouble. So that's why he would rip it. Amar Rava, Umoda Rav Huna. Okay, back to Rav Huna now. Rav Huna says the Baal is Naaman. Moda Rav Huna di Amra ihi lid, Amra ihi. If she were to say, Lididi amarli shalish to legerushi yahave niale mehemna. If the woman says that the shalish told me, okay, she says the shalish told me that my husband gave it to him for the purposes of gerushim. Remember, the husband says I gave it to him for the purposes of pikadon. So now while Rav Huna says we don't believe the shalish, but if the woman says that the shalish told her that the husband gave it for the purposes of gerushin, then she's believed. So they say, what kind of craziness? Ah, exactly. Mi kamidi de shalish kufei lo mehema vi'i mehemna. Could it possibly be that the messenger's not believed? And she's willing to say the messenger told me? That doesn't make any sense. So they say, no, that's not what he meant. Ella I amra, if she said, now this is much more difficult because it doesn't make so much sense, the reality of this situation. But they say it must be, okay, let's put it this way. That one didn't make sense, technically speaking, right? How could we believe her saying something in the name of him when he himself isn't believed if he said it himself? So it's like hearsay. But this is a little difficult because why would this ever happen? But what would be the case? I amra kamai didi legerushin yahave nihale mehemna. It was in front of me, I saw myself, that the husband gave it to the shalish for the purposes of gerushin. Now you have to wonder, right? Why is he giving it to the shalish if she's in the room? That's what's difficult here. It doesn't make any sense. There'd be no point, right? Maybe they're really not talking to each other and he can't tolerate, you know. Anyway, okay. Now, why? Why is she believed here?
What,
because of Amigo.
Tell Abba that.
Abba's right there, right? It does happen. Okay. So now, why is she believed? Because she has Amigo. Migo di bai amra lidida yahave niale. She could have just said, a woman's believed to say, he gave me a get. So, in other words, if she has the get. So therefore, she could easily say, he gave me the get. So the fact that he's saying, she's saying that he gave it to the shalish for the purposes of gerushin, she could have just as easily said he gave it straight to me. And therefore, if she's saying it in some cockamamie way, right, obviously she's not lying, because otherwise she'd lie in a much simpler way. Yaveni ale baal. Okay. Next one. Baal amar, here's another case. What if the husband says legerushin, vishalish omer legerushin? Okay, both of them agree that he gave it l'shem gerushin. V'hi omeret natan li va'avad. And she says, it's true he gave it to me, but I lost it. So now, what's the issue? There's no proof that she actually ever received the get.
Why wouldn't she be neman in that case?
So we're going to see. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, have davar sheba erva ve'ein davar... So first of all, what's the difference between this case and the last? Because the last case, she has the get in hand. This case, she doesn't have a get to show for it. So now we're going to go through it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, have davar sheba erva ve'ein davar sheba erva pachot mishnayim. And therefore, since we don't have witnesses that she actually received the get, it's a problem. V'amai, so now why? V'lehemne l'shalish. Why don't we believe the shalish? So what's the problem here? Mika napikita mitoteyade de lehemna, right? He doesn't have a get to show for it. Remember, we believe the shalish when he has something in hand. He has nothing in hand here. V'lehemne l'baal, but the Baal himself said I gave it for Gerushin. So why wouldn't we believe the husband? What's the problem? Dam Rabbi Baravin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Baal Shamar Gerashit Ishine Eman. Okay? So this is the question, right? Why wouldn't we say, right, based on Rabbi Hanina, who said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that a husband who says, I divorced my wife, he's believed. So what's the problem? Mika Amar Gerashti. He doesn't say, I divorced my wife. What does he say? I gave it to a shaliach to give to my wife. So we don't know. Maybe the shaliach never delivered it to the wife, right? We have no way of knowing. He says for sure I gave it to the shaliach, but we don't know that the shaliach gave it to the wife. So they say, well, lema chazaka shaliach was shlichuto. Don't we have this concept that there's a chazaka that if you give a shaliach a job to do, the assumption is he'll get it done, right? You could argue with this one, right? You give someone something to do, they don't always actually do what you say, right? Sometimes it's one of those problems you have in life that you want to
delegate
and people don't always do what you delegate. But here in the Gemara, there's a chazaka that the shaliach does his shlichut. To Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, how do we know this is true? Because Rabbi Yitzchak says, Ha'omer l'shlichot seva kadesh li'isha stam, umet shlucho. He goes and says, we actually learned this, he goes and says, go marry me some woman. Okay? And then the shaliach dies.
And they have no idea.
So they have no idea which woman. So asur b'chol hanashim sheba olam. Chazaka shaliach oseh shlichuto. Okay, he's forbidden for any woman in the world because it might be the sister of the woman. It could be, you know, some relative that he's forbidden to now. So therefore, we have a chazaka, the shalecha says shlichuta. So what do we say? No. When we use that chazaka, what's the point? Hanemile l'chumra. That's to be machmir. Afal l'kula lo. But to say that we're going to allow this woman to be divorced based on the fact, this is exactly what I said, the problem with delegating. You don't necessarily know they're going to do it. They might do it. So if they might do it, so we're going to be machmir. But if in our case, we want to go l'kula. So therefore, we're not going to believe. We're not going to believe the husband. Because the husband has no idea, did the shalech do it or not? So maybe we should believe her based on Rav Hamnuna. Da'ama Rav Hamnuna, because what did she say, right? I was divorced, but I lost my get. So what does Rav Hamnuna say? Ha'isha shamra la'bala gerashtani. Shamra la'bala gerashtani. Right, she says to her husband, you divorced me. Ne'emenet, she's believed. Why? Because chazaka, we've learned this also. Ein ha'isha mi'iza panim b'fnei ba'ala. If she says right in front of the husband, you divorce me, the assumption is she wouldn't lie. She's not going to lie in front of her husband to his face. Right? She doesn't have enough chutzpah. That was just like we saw in Adamiz Bifnei Baal Chovo. Okay, it's the same concept. A person wouldn't have the chutzpah to say in front of someone, you divorce me, when he never divorced her. So therefore, she is believed. So why wouldn't we say that here? Hanemile, hecha deleka dekamasayale. La. Now we get into, again, psychology. When would a woman not have enough chutzpah to lie straight to his face? That's when she has absolutely no evidence to support her claim. Aval hecha demisayela miza miza. But in a case where she's already got some proof, meaning the husband says I gave the get to a shaliach, and the shaliach says he gave me the get to divorce her, right? So she's got all the cards in her place. At this point, first of all, the husband intended to divorce her, right? It's just a matter of did it happen or not. So there's no concept of, you know, enata me'iz. And then you can question this concept of, you know, me'iza umi'iza. In other words, all the more so she's going to have the chutzpah to say. I don't know what they, you know, here it seems a little bit against, like, they think that women finagle things a little bit to get what they want. And they think that if they've already got some proof, well, then they're going to take it and go all the way and just lie. Okay, so therefore, again, you could say, oh, this is really negative about women, but again, most of these are really protecting the system to say, would there be a woman who might take advantage? And they don't think 90% of the women or 95% of the women are going to do this, but the 5% who might do it in this case. Okay, in other words, there's a chance that that's what's happened. Okay, that's the end of this Mishnah. We're going to move on to a different topic now. Naraha Ma'urasa. Okay, this brings us back to Ketubot. Okay, this whole thing about the Nara Murasa, what's the situation? She's engaged to someone, but she's still a Nara. Remember, there's a woman, might be 12 years old, with two Simanim. She becomes a Nara for 6 months. Okay, until she crosses that six-month period then, she becomes a Bogeret. When she's a Nara, she's still under the auspices of her father. So now the question is, who gets the get? Her or her father. She's divorced, so her father, right, when she's a ketana, functions for her. She's in this in-between stage of the Nara Murasa, so how does it work? At this point, she can actually do stuff on her own. So, he va'avia mekablinit gita. Either her or her father can accept the get. Okay, that's what Rashi says. O he, o avia. It doesn't mean both of them. Okay? Because Rashi says, if you want to read it inside, he yesh la yad tahagdolai. She has her own, now this is all about yad. In other words, can she accept the get? She's supposed to accept it with her hand. That's why her chatzir is like her yad. In other words, there's all sorts of things. In this case, her father could function like her yad because she's still under his auspices. On the other hand, she also is a gdola herself as opposed to a ketana who can't accept it on her own behalf, but she can. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ein shtei yadayim zochot ke'echad. You can't have it where there's two people who can accept the get. First of all, it creates confusion, right? Like, he might accept the get, she might not know, or, right? It creates confusion. Ela, aviha mekabelet gita bilvad. Okay? The only way it works is, I mean, then again, you could still say it's compute, right? She won't know, but at least she knows only the father can accept the get on her behalf. Okay, now we get into it. This is going to get into dinim of ketanim and at what age you can do certain things. We talked about that not everything was 12 exactly, and that's the year, and that's the magical number, or 13 for a boy. But if she, okay, we're going to also explain what this line means. If she can't be shomeret et gita, then she can't get divorced. Okay? Okay, we'll learn more about this after. So now what's the machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama about? about this, whether the father can accept the get or not. Rabbanan Savre Yada Yiterata Zachela Rahmana. Okay, the rabbis say that, Tanakama, that there's an extra yad here. Okay? That's what the Torah gave her, an extra yad. The Rabbi Yehuda Savar Bimkomavia Yada Dila Love Klumhu. Okay, Love Klumhi. That's while we say that a yad, that a na'ara has a yad, that's only when her father doesn't. But if her father has a yad, then her yad doesn't mean anything yet.
Do they mean physical yad?
No.
They just mean...
They mean the ability to accept something, make a kinyan, basically, or, you know, accept something halachically. Yeah, yeah. Okay. V'chol she'ena yichola lishmor et gita. All right. So, by the way, Rashi says, Yad didal klumu, and this returns us to Ketubot, de legamrei ukma rachmane bershute kol yimei na'arut. Okay, even while she's a Nahara, the Torah still places her in the total reshut of the father. Until what point? You remember? Ela in kein niseit. This is all only if she's engaged, by the way. This is if she's betrothed, but not if she's actually married. This is all a get from Erusin. Okay, because as long as she's not yet married, she's still under the auspices of the father. Once she gets married, then she's on her own. She's away from, you know, she's done with the father. B'chol she'inai chola l'shmorat gita. Tana Rabbanan. Ktana hayodat lishmorat gita mitgareshet, v'she'ena yodat lishmorat gita ena mitgareshet. Okay, so here's a braita that says the same thing. If she can be shomeret gita, she's divorced. She can get divorced. If she's not, then she can. V'ezu hi ktana yodat lishmorat gita. What's the age? What does this mean? Kol shemeshameret gita v'davar acher. That's what the braita says. Anyone who can watch over her own get and something else. Okay, my kamar. What does this mean? Amar b'yochanan hachi kamar. This is what it means. Kol shemishameret davar acher machmat gita. Okay, anyone who can watch over something, okay, what does this mean? Machmat gita. Rashi says she'im avda gita. If her get was to get lost, mishameret davar acher she'eino domelo, and she thinks it's her get. Okay, it means like she doesn't know how to distinguish between a regular shtar and a get shtar. That's what it means. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? This girl clearly has no dad. How could you say that it would work if, right, she takes a different document in place of a get and thinks it's her get? That doesn't mean lishmorat gita. That dafka shows lack of maturity, not maturity. We're trying to find something that shows maturity. So therefore, they re-explain. They say, no. Ela amar Rav Huna bar Manoach mishmei d'Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Ika kol shemabchenet ben gita l'davar acher. Okay, that's the, it's dafka the opposite. It's if she can distinguish, if basically she would lose her get and you would give her a different shtar instead, or you snuff the get away and you put a different shtar, that she would know the difference. If that's the case, then she can already accept her own get. Okay, you know what? Let's stop here and we'll pick up from here tomorrow.
When it says in the last line of the Mishnah, Yechola Litgaresh, it means that she can accept, or does that mean she just can't get divorced at all?
Right, so that means, one second, I don't know what that means. Okay. I think, I was also trying to figure that out, whether it means
that she can't take it, or she can't get divorced.
I think it means that she can, if you go with, right, the question is, the Mishnah starts out, what's confusing to me, is that a ktana, it's clear that it's only her father can do it, right? So then maybe this line is referring to a nara who can't be shomeret gita. And this, I would have thought that this whole discussion of ages is younger than a nara. It sounds like it's talking about. And then what does it mean, enai chola l'tkaresh? It means she can't get divorced at all, even through her father? Yeah, it's not 100% clear to me. I'm going to figure it out by tomorrow. I was also trying to figure that out. I don't think so. I don't think so. So I have to look up in the Parshaniyot and see what it says there. I also, I was wondering the same thing myself, so we'll figure it out by tomorrow.
They changed the lingo all of a sudden.
Yeah.